Day 484, Sunday, August 4th. Psalm 2 and Psalm 10, Psalms 2:1-12, NKJV. Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds in pieces, and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Psalms 10:1-18, NKJV. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly, as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face, he will never see. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand, do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, You will not require an account, but you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. Daily Deep Dive. The UCG Reading Plan states, Psalm 2 is a royal psalm that speaks of David and his descendants reigning in Jerusalem, ultimately pointing to Christ's millennial rule on the earth. Have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Verses 6-8. Israelite kings and priests were anointed with oil when they took office. The anointed one probably originally meant king. It came, however, to stand for more. The Hebrew word is Messiah, which became Messiah and is translated into Greek as Christos or Christ. This psalm was understood in the New Testament as referring to Jesus, for no Old Testament king ever gained the control of the nations implied here. Zondervan New Student Bible, note on verse 2. Considering that God announced his plan and has all power to fulfill it, the psalmist wonders at the audacity of plotting against him. To take counsel against God and his anointed is a vain thing. God laughs scornfully at the long history of human insubordination. Verse 4. Kings and leaders have been warned in advance. They should wise up and serve the Lord in fear and trembling. Verse 11. Deuteronomy 10:12-13. At the end of the age, a union of nations will mount another rebellion against God, this time an attack on the returning Jesus Christ. With all power at his command, Christ will destroy the rebel armies and commence to rule the nations with an iron scepter. Verse 9. Revelation 2:27. Revelation 12:5 NIV. You are my son, today I have begotten you. In Psalm 2:7, is the public proclamation that the son is to inherit the kingdom from his father, establishing the son's right to rule over God's kingdom. The Bible readers. Companion, note on verse 7. God has not said this to his angels, see Hebrews 1:5. He reserved this for Jesus, Acts 13:33, as well as other human beings who would be spiritually begotten as God's children. See Hebrews 1. Kiss the Son, verse 12, is perhaps meant as a sign of submission. See 1 Samuel 10:1, 1 Kings 19:18, Hosea 13. Submission to an Assyrian king was expressed by kissing his feet. Zondervan NIV Study Bible, note on Psalm 2:12. The New Testament shows kissing on the cheek as a means of greeting, which would signify welcome and acceptance. The Jewish Tanakh translation renders the entire phrase pay homage in good faith, leaving out the word son, perhaps with some concern over Christian interpretation, but declaring the Hebrew uncertain in a footnote. It is true that the word for son would here be the Aramaic bar rather than the Hebrew ben. However, as Expositor states in its footnote on verse 12, in favor of the traditional translation son are the context of the psalm's submission to the Lord and to the anointed, the proposal by commentator Delitzsch that the sequence barpen son lest avoids the dissonance of ben pen, and the suggestion by another commentator that the usage of the Aramaism may be intentionally directed to the foreign nations, as Aramaic was the common language of the entire ancient Middle East. Interestingly, it would also be the language of the Jews when Jesus the Son actually came among them. Psalm 10. Continuing with the theme of God's righteous judgment, especially the last two verses of Psalm 9, the psalmist, probably still David, asks why God does not immediately act in the face of evil. Psalm 10, 1. Things often seem to be going so well for the wicked. Verse 5. To strengthen his plea for God to take righteous action, the psalmist describes his enemy's disregard for God. The wicked man says, "Nothing will shake me, I'll always be happy and never have trouble. God is forgotten, he covers his face and never sees. He won't call me to account." Verses 6, 11, 13, NIV. Emboldened by such reckless thinking, the wicked man persecutes the poor, murders the innocent, crushes the helpless and curses God. He plots, boasts, lies and deceives. Verses 213. The psalm summarizes, "In all his thoughts there is no room for God." Verse 4, NIV. Wickedness does not escape God's notice, however, and he will justly punish. Verse 14. God will call for an accounting, the wicked will no longer terrorize the earth. Verses 16-18. The reference to the nations perishing in verse 16 ties back to Psalm 9. When Christ returns to rule the earth, he will put an end to wickedness and establish true justice. Psalm 10-15-18. End.